Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikulskas, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Nick Petrie, who is out with his brand new Peter Ash novel. This one's called The Breaker. It is available now wherever your fine books are sold, the sixth Peter Ash novel. This has been a great series, and we've had Nick on each and every time since this book, the series, first debuted several years ago. Nick, it is always the most wonderful time of the year when I get to pick up the new Peter Ash novel. This novel, set back in your beloved Milwaukee, and can you set it up for us? Because Peter is, there's elements of his past in here, there's elements of his future, and it's just one of these exciting stories, like they all are, that just keep moving along.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that comment. So the main character, she said, is Peter Ash. He's a Marine Corps veteran. And like many of the veterans I've spoken with, he's having trouble adjusting to his life after his war. And in The Breaker, he's living a low-profile life in Milwaukee, renovating houses in St. Louis, trying to avoid the attention of the police. But he's having lunch with his friends, and June, his girlfriend, notices a man with an assault rifle walking into the Milwaukee public market. And Peter and Lewis take off after the gunman, hoping to prevent the bloodbath, but of course, nothing is as expected, and the events that follow are truly strange, a little bit different from the other books.
Well, something I noticed in here is Peter and his girlfriend June, they live together. She met him through doing what he does as sort of this rogue, basically a do-gooder, but he's also a little element of a superhero to him because he's very, very tough, and he can get things done a lot quicker than law enforcement. But June seems to be troubled by Peter's attention to always having to do these things, to get involved. And even though that's how she met him, how does that dichotomy work, that it still bothers her, but nonetheless she has to accept that part of his character?
Well, it's interesting. I really dive into that a little bit more in this book than I do the others. And this is as much a June Cassidy book as it is a Peter Ash book. And, I've spoken with lots of veterans who have been through combat, and I've also talked to the wives of veterans as well. And the comment I get back over and over and over again is, "Well, I knew who he was when I met him," and so there is sort of that acceptance. And maybe that's not something she's crazy about, but she is crazy about him. And so, just like every relationship, we're all kind of working out, kind of who we are and who we are to our spouses, and. There's a lot of that sort of discussion in this book. What does June really want out of life? What does Peter really want out of life? And not to say it's not a, fast-paced, exciting, occasionally, hopefully funny book in places. But, the goal is to, sort of dive into those issues a little bit. And I think one of the reasons that readers have really, latched onto this series is that I pay a lot of attention to the characters, and I pay a lot of attention to relationships, and that's why most readers are male in this kind of genre, and I've attracted 2/3 of my readers are female, so I've added to that because I'm interested in character, because I write about people's relationships, and there's the occasional fist fight, gun battle, etc., etc.
I noticed I live in the National League North country here, and you're, of course, in Milwaukee. This is where the book's set and where you live, where you've made your life. But one of the bad guys in the book wears Cardinals gear, and I thought it was interesting that you made the bad guy a Cardinals fan. That a little bit of a tip of the cap to your love of your hometown Milwaukee Brewers?
Oh, of course.
Oh, but you do make the observation, or the at least the narrator does in the book, that everybody needs a team to, even though you love a team, you also need somebody to hate. And so, is the St. Louis, does that top the Chicago Cubs for hatred as far as Brewers fans go?
Well, I try not to hate anybody or anything. I certainly root harder for the Brewers, but my brother's a Cubbies fan, and my mother-in-law is a huge Cubs fan. So, to me, that's more of a... that's more of a nod to politics today, more than anything else. But I don't think we get anywhere by hating other people. I think for me, the goal is certainly you root for your team, but that doesn't mean you want bad things to happen to anybody else. For me, that was as much social commentary as on being a sports lover.
Another thing I noticed is your descriptions are really spot on, and they make me think. And in fact, I circled, well, I put a sticky note and put an arrow, I guess, in the book. It was early in the book, but you describe somebody's voice. You describe Lewis's voice, and you said it was a low voice. It sounded like motor oil, slippery and dark. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I wouldn't ever describe a voice with an animate object like motor oil, but slippery and dark. Where do these type of thoughts come from? Maybe you can't explain the creative process, but as you describe a voice by something that's an animate object, usually we think that she had a voice like the wind or something like that, but to describe it as motor oil, I thought that was genius.
Well, thank you. I work pretty hard on that kind of stuff. And again, I do think that's part of what sets this series apart, is there's a little more sort of vivid language in it, and you know, readers tell me that they just kind of fall into the book, and that's my goal. That's what I love about reading is to, you know, that you can really just disappear into the story, into this other world. But when you're describing a person or a place or a thing, you have a lot of choices, right? So if you can describe someone as, you know, tall and handsome and whatever, but that doesn't really tell you anything about who he is. Whereas you have a, you know, when you make a choice to, you know, to use a different kind of description, right? So if I describe his voice in a certain way, you know, the implication is that he is also a certain way. So it's a writer's trick that not many writers lean into quite as hard as I do.
I'm chatting with Nick Petrie about his brand new Peter Ash novel, The Breaker. It's available now. And Peter, one of the things that comes out in this book, part of the story, is there's quite a bit about electronics. And I know in your former life you were doing home inspections, but are you an electronics guru, or was this a learning process for you to learn how all these electrical components work?
Well, I'm a total nerd from way back. And one of the things that I've discovered, my wife refers to me as a veritable font of useless knowledge. And I've discovered that quality is common through the friends that I have who are writers. Is we're interested in lots of things, and one of the ways to find a story is to dive into some of the things that you're interested in. So I've always been interested in technology. I grew up as a kid reading, you know, science fiction, Tom Swift, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, every book is a chance to sort of dive into something that I'm interested in personally and see what kind of crazy story I can spin out of it.
And this book also deals with, it gives us quite a tour of Milwaukee in a lot of places. And June Cassidy rides a bicycle around Milwaukee, and there's a lot of experiences that she enjoys or doesn't enjoy while riding a bike, particularly riding in the rain, things like that. Is bicycling big in Milwaukee?
Well, bicycling is big a lot of places. It's really interesting how there are a lot of young people who you know, aren't buying cars; they're buying bikes. I have friends who have, you know, six bicycles, eight bicycles, which, you know, I think that's kind of insane. But you know, when you live someplace like Milwaukee, which has a fairly dense, you know, kind of center, you know, you really can. I can ride my bike from where I live downtown in about 20 minutes. So I can get to, and there are good bike paths here. When I was in graduate school in Seattle, I commuted to the university on a bicycle for 2 years in the rain, in whatever Seattle is famous for its rain. So part of it again is it's just something that I enjoy, but I notice it now more than I ever did, and I have friends who ride their bike from the suburbs down into downtown. They work, you know, corporate jobs, office jobs, all winter long. And, you know, it's just as where you are, I think it's about 15 degrees out here. We've got, I don't know, 8 or 10 inches of snow still on the ground. So it's kind of a way of life for some people, and June is just one of those people.
Speaking of way of life, Peter needs this action, and he always needs to have this feeling of risk about him. And as you said earlier, June starts to accept that. But as part of his PTSD, this acute claustrophobia that he has, this action, is this a mental diversion or is this a physical thing for him? How does that actually manifest itself in his own mind?
Well, part of what happens with post-traumatic stress is your brain rewires itself, it orients itself towards action in a certain way. And again, post-traumatic stress is different for every person. There are many different forms of post-traumatic stress. There are people who are suffering from it. But I often hear from sets about how they are just more tightly wound, more tightly wrapped, and how they need to keep busy, how they need to have something to do to sort of distract them from what's going on in their heads. And Peter is like that, for sure. And, you know, one of the themes that runs through this whole series is violence, right? Peter's life now is the product of 8 years as a recon Marine fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq, and that is a certain kind of life. He's been the tip of the spear for 8 years, and now he's trying to figure out how to sort of return to the civilian world, and that's not an easy thing for anybody. And so, you know, part of you could say Peter's kind of acting out. You could also say Peter is sort of using those skills to try to be useful. That's one of the themes that run through the book as well, is that Peter just wants the power of that experience, which he's proud of, but also has really affected him. He wants to turn that into something that's useful, that he can continue to use, and that's really where this comes from, is that if somebody is looking for a hand, Peter is always there to step in. And it's a, you know, for a writer, you want a character who's willing to, step up and step into some kind of trouble, because otherwise the books aren't very interesting if all Peter does is make breakfast and go to work and eat lunch and go home.
I'm always interested in opening lines, and you're really in, you're operating at top speed on this, and so you've written a lot of these books, but when you open the book, it talks about Peter parking a vehicle, and you know, I think back to the most famous opening lines of books. My favorite is Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, "It was a pleasure to burn." But when you work on the opening line on a series, do you need to pay as much attention to it 5-6 books in as you did on the first book?
Well, if anything, I'm paying more attention. I was in an elevator with Harlan Coben at one point, and I was struggling with my third book. And, you know, Harlan had written, I don't know, 20 books at that point, or 25. And I said, "Please tell me it gets easier." And he just looked at me and he said, "Not if you're doing it right, it doesn't." and I agree. It does get more challenging because I don't want to repeat myself. I don't want to sort of lean on the same kinds of things. The goal is to have, you know, find more readers and for more readers to be excited about this series. So I am, if anything, thinking more about what's the best way to start this book. What's the way to get you into the story more quickly, in a more interesting way. The opening lines are funny, actually, because it's not something. I mean, I think there are maybe some people who do it really consciously, but for me, I'm just looking for a way into the story, and that line may not show up. That first line may not show up until my third pass through the book. Where I just think, oh, how about, what if I do this? So it's always in flux. It's always evolving. But, my biggest fear is that I'm going to get lazy, that I'm going to stop trying so hard. And so, of course, I'm going the opposite way. I'm trying even harder.
It's just a phenomenal series, and this book was, it's gone right up there to the top as far as my favorite books in the series. The book is The Breaker. It's by Nick Petrie. It's the new Peter Ash novel. The book's available now wherever you buy your books. Peter, just a fantastic offering, and thanks for joining me again to talk about it.
Well, thanks so much, Brian. I really appreciate your time and your interest.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Yeah, running down a dream.